Dear friends, it's good to see you this evening. If you have your Bible with you, will you take it out, please, and go over into your New Testament tonight to the Gospel of Luke. Will you please go over to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, and in a few minutes, I promise you, we're going to be reading some verses from that chapter, Luke chapter 10. As you turn there and get settled in this evening, let me just say how good it is for us to be together tonight as a spiritual family, as the people of God, to be able to sing praises to our God, to pray to God together, and to study the Word of God so we can grow together and learn how we can be more like our Master, Jesus Christ. It's good to see guests here tonight. If you're visiting with this great church, like my family and I are this week, then I know that this congregation is so happy to have you here. I'm glad to see my dear friend, Brother Scarpino, here with us tonight. Good to see you, buddy. I'm glad that you made it tonight. I was hoping you were able to make it to the meeting. I was able to be with the good church in Bedford a couple of years ago or so, and I've always enjoyed my time with them, and I'm glad to see him here this evening. I want to begin the lesson tonight by asking you a question. The question is, do you know what is said to be the largest library in all the world? Do you know what is said to be the largest library in all the world? Ladies and gentlemen, the largest library in all the world is actually said to be located right here in our country, in the United States of America. It's actually said to be located in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C. It is the world famous Library of Congress. The Library of Congress is more than two centuries old. It actually holds over 33 million books written in 460 languages. It also features almost 900 miles of shelving, 68 million manuscripts, 6.5 million pieces of music, more than 5 million maps, and more than 13.5 million photographs. It also requires about 15,000 new items every single day. And of those 15,000 items, about 11,000 of those things will make their way into the library. It is truly one of the great wonders of our country and of our world as a whole. So many millions and millions and millions of books are found in this library. But I want to tell you about one book that you will not find in this library. Brothers and sisters, the one book that you won't find in this library is actually a book that no man or woman can get their hands on this earth today. It is actually a book that you can't find at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble or at Books A Million. You can't even find this book anywhere on the internet. You can't find this book anywhere on the great planet Earth. And the reason for that is because this book is a book that belongs to God and God alone. This is a book that belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. This is a book that's only in heaven. This is a book that God himself writes in all the time. And so let me ask you, do you know which book I'm referring to this evening? The book that I'm referring to this evening is called in the Bible, the Book of Life. The Book of Life. Let me ask you this evening, you ever heard of the Book of Life before? You ever heard of the Book of Life? If so, how familiar are you really with this book? How familiar are you with the contents of this book? How familiar are you really with what this book is all about? If you don't mind, tonight in our study from the Word of God, I want us to talk about this book. I want us to talk about the Book of Life. In fact, I want to share with you about four or five very important things that God wants us to understand about this book. And here's the first thing right here. The first thing that God wants us to understand about the Book of Life is, number one, this book is a book of names. This book is a book of names. It is actually a book of the names of the people who are currently on a path to heaven. It is actually a book of the names of people who serve God and love him with all their hearts and their souls and their minds. It is actually a book with the names of people who love Jesus and try every single day to glorify him in their lives. The Book of Life is a book of all the names of those people who are God's children and are on a path to heaven right now. And so go in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Are you there in Luke chapter 10? I want you to listen to what Jesus says in Luke the 10th chapter. Now here in the context, Jesus has just sent out 70 disciples to go and preach the word of God. We refer to this as the limited commission. We have 70 disciples. They've gone out to preach the gospel to the children of Israel. And in Luke chapter 10 in verse number 19, Jesus says in verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Listen carefully to what Jesus says. Notice carefully how Jesus says in verse number 20 that there is some writing being done in heaven. Do you see that? Notice how Jesus says that in heaven, names are being written down. According to Jesus, in heaven, the names of individuals are being recorded. Jesus says there are some names being recorded in heaven. And someone says, where exactly are they being recorded in heaven? That's a good question. Let's go down to Philippians chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. We're going to come back to Philippians a couple of times tonight. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul mentions two Christian women in the church at Philippi. And he says, Philippians 4 and verse 2, "I urge Euodia and I urge in Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord." So evidently we got two sisters in this church who are not getting along with each other. And Paul says you need to stop that. You need to get along with each other as sisters in Christ. You need to live in harmony in the Lord. That's what Paul has to say to these two sisters. And then in verse number 3, notice he says, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are" where? "Whose names are in the book of life." Notice how here we see exactly where these names are being recorded in heaven. Notice how here, according to the Apostle Paul, the names of God's children, the names of those who faithfully serve the Lord, are being recorded in the book of life. According to the Apostle Paul, right now in the book of life, God is keeping a record. According to the Apostle Paul, right now, God is keeping track of all of those who are his children, of all of those who serve his son, of all of those who are working diligently in his kingdom. God is keeping a list in the book of life. And so here's my question for all of us in the room tonight. The question is your name in this book? As you sit there in that pew tonight and you evaluate your own life, can you honestly say that your name is in this book? In addition to the names of people like Euodia and Syntyche and Clement and the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John and Matthew and Thomas, in addition to people like that, is your name in this book? Is your name tonight in the book of life? According to the Apostle Paul, the book of life is a book of names. It's a book of names. That's the first thing we got to understand about this book. But not only is this book a book of names, I think a second thing we got to say and a second thing we got to emphasize is the book of life is just that. It's a book of life. It's not a book of death, but rather it is a book of life. Philippians 4 and verse 3. Look at it again. In Philippians 4 and verse 3, after Paul mentions Euodia, and after he mentions Syntyche and Clement, he says, "These people, as well as other fellow workers, their names are in the book of life." Here Paul calls it the book of life. Now go over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. We go to Revelation 20 and look at verse 15. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, the Apostle John says these words. He says that if anyone's name was now found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Notice again, this book is called the book of life. It's called the book of life. Now go to chapter 21. Chapter 21, look at verse 27. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 27. The Bible says, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. That's probably a reference to heaven. If you practice those things, if you do lying and abominations, you're not going to enter into heaven, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now notice here how the Book of Life is not just called the Book of Life, but it's also called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And why is it called that? Well, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a book that belongs to the Lamb. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life because it's a book that's only made possible because of the Lamb. Those whose names are in this book, they're only able to be there because of what the Lamb has done. They're only able to be there because of what the Lamb did 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood on the cross. You see, this book contains the names of all of those who love the Lamb. This book contains the names of all of those who serve the Lamb and are devoted to the Lamb and have had their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. This is a book that has a record of all of those who've obeyed not some man-made plan of salvation. These people haven't just believed in Jesus and accepted him in their hearts. No, these people have obeyed the Lamb's plan of salvation. They've obeyed the Bible plan of salvation. You see, the people whose names are in this book, these are people who have believed in what the Bible says about the Lamb. They have believed what the Bible says about Jesus. They have believed with all their hearts how Jesus is the Son of God and how he is the Lord and how he did die on the cross for their sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, but he was raised on the third day. They believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, those whose names are in this book. They also have believed that Jesus is the Lord, that he's the Christ, that he has all authority in heaven and on earth, that he's in heaven right now, sitting at the right hand of God, and one day he's going to come back for his people. One day he's going to come back, and he's going to judge the whole world. The people whose names are in this book, they believe what the Bible says about Jesus. They take very seriously what he says in John 8 and verse 24, when he says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The people whose names are in this book, they believe in the identity of Jesus. They believe that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, but not only do they believe in Jesus, they also have repented of their sins. Oh yes, beyond just belief in mental assent, the people whose names are in this book, they've repented. That is, they've had a change of heart, a change of mind that has led to a change in their lives. That is, they have felt godly sorrow over their sins, and they're making a conscious effort to turn away from their sins instead of walking in sin and committing things like lying and adultery and fornication and drunkenness and gossip and all these other things that God says are wrong. Instead of doing stuff like that, the people in this book, they walk with Jesus. They walk with the Lord. They decide to change their lives, to give up ungodliness and live holy before the Lord because the Lord is holy. The people whose names are in this book, they've believed in Jesus and they've repented of sin, and they've also confessed the name of Jesus. Like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 37, the people whose names are in this book, they have confessed with their mouths that they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They have confessed with their mouths what they believe about Jesus, but not only have they confessed, they've also been baptized. Oh, yes, they have been immersed into the death of Jesus. Oh, yes, they have been buried in water, the waters of baptism, for the remission of their sins. They have obeyed what Jesus says in Mark 16 and verse 16, when Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. They have obeyed what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when after those 3,000 Jews asked the question of, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The people whose names are in this book, they've been baptized for the Bible reason. They haven't been baptized as some outward sign of inward grace. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. You don't find Jesus saying that. You don't find the apostles saying that. You don't find any inspired men of God saying that. No, these people in this book, they've been baptized so they can be saved. They've been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. They've been baptized so they can be added to the Lord's church. I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, the Hebrew writer, listen to what he says. Here he's talking to Christians. He's talking to the people of God. And he says, but you have come. Notice that language carefully. If you're a Christian tonight, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you need to understand he's talking to you here also. You have come. You're not going to get there in the future. You've come there right now. The Hebrew writer says you've come here. You have come as a Christian. You've come to Mount Zion. And the city, into the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Listen to what the word of God says. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says here. Notice how the Hebrew writer makes it very clear. He makes it very clear that those who are members of the Lord's church, those who have been added to the body of Christ, they have had their names enrolled in heaven. That is, they've had their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is, they're currently on a path to receive what Jesus came to this earth and died to give them. The Book of Life is just that. It's a book of life. It's a book of those who've received real life. It's the book of those names who have received eternal life that can only come from Jesus. The book of life is a book of names. And it's a book of life. But thirdly, can I say this? I also want to say the book of life is a book of joy. Oh, yeah, it's a book of joy. And it's a book of joy because it brings joy, real joy, to those whose names are found in the book. Someone says, where's that in the Bible? Well, I'll show you where that's in the Bible. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. Let's make sure we get the whole context of what Paul is saying here. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 3 again. After the apostle of God mentions Clement and Euodia and Syntyche, he says in verse number 3, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now watch verse 4. In verse 4 he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Listen to what Paul says there. Look at the context. Notice after Paul tells these Christians that their names have been written in the Lamb's book of life, he then tells them to rejoice. He then tells them to celebrate and be happy. Brothers and sisters, I don't think it's an accident that Paul talks about joy right after mentioning the book of life. In fact, consider again what Jesus said to the 70 back in Luke chapter 10. Let's go back to Luke 10 and get the whole context this time. Luke 10 and verse 17. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, Jesus says, well, the word of God says this, Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy. Notice that. They came with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I was watching. That is, while you've been gone, I've seen something. I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Remember the context. Don't forget the context. Context is key. Remember, in the context of these verses, Jesus has just sent 70 of his disciples out to do the work of God. In the context, Jesus has just sent out 70 of his disciples to go out into the world and preach the word of God and perform miracles. They've gone out to do these things over a period of time. And once they come back to give Jesus a report, I want you to notice how Jesus, he's got a report to give them. He's got some things he has to say to them. He tells them that while they were away, while they were gone doing the work of God, he says, I saw something. He says, while you were gone, I saw Satan being defeated. While you were gone, I saw Satan falling like lightning. That is, he saw Satan suffering some terrible blows to his cause. He says the cause of Satan was suffering terribly because these disciples were out doing the work of God. In fact, when it came to the miracles they were performing, when it came to them doing things like casting demons out of people and being able to handle deadly animals, when it came to doing things like that, Jesus told them, don't rejoice about that. Jesus told them, don't you get all focused on that. Jesus says, don't you get caught up on all that. Instead, you need to focus on the big picture. Jesus says the big picture was this. The big picture was because they were servants of his. Because they were out doing his work and putting their trust in him, their names have been recorded in the book of life. Their names have been inscribed in the mind of God. Jesus says if you want to rejoice about something, rejoice about that. Jesus says if you want to be happy about something, be happy about that. Be happy about that before you're happy about the ability to perform miracles. That's what the Lord is saying in the context. Jesus says, be happy that your names are found written in the book of life. And the question is, what about me? What about you? If we're children of God, is our names being recorded in the book of life right now, does that really bring us a lot of joy? I mean, is that something that we find ourselves celebrating every single day, all throughout the day? Do you constantly celebrate the fact that your name's in the book of life? You know, I can remember when I first had my name put in this book. I remember it. In fact, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was 19 years old at the time. And I was in college. I was a sophomore. And sophomore in college in my hometown of Nacogdoches, Texas. And when I got up that morning, that Sunday morning, it was in October, I knew I had to do it. I knew I wanted to do it. I knew I wanted on that day to finally get my soul right with God. I knew I wanted to become a Christian. I knew I wanted to be a member of the Lord's church. And so that morning, even though the rest of my family didn't want to come to church with me, I got up and I went to church all by myself. I went to church all by myself. And after the invitation song had concluded, I stood before the congregation and I told them what had been bothering me for quite some time. I told them that I wanted to get my soul right with God. I told them that I wanted to be baptized for the remission of my sins. That's what I wanted to do. But let me tell you, since this church I was worshiping with on this day was meeting in a hotel, they seemed pretty ill-prepared to baptize me on that day. In fact, the fact of the matter is, they didn't even have any garments. They didn't even have any clothes for me to get baptized in. I actually had to get in my car and drive back to my house to get some clothes. And I can remember as I was making that drive, I was just praying that I didn't die in a car accident before I made it back. I had to go back home and get some clothes to get baptized in. And thankfully, the Lord blessed me to make it back safely. And when I made it back, the preacher did baptize me. In fact, he baptized me in a jacuzzi. And after he did that, I can still remember the feeling I had. I can still remember how I was so happy. How I was so relieved. How I was so full of joy that if I died on that day, if I happened to get in a car accident, or if the Lord came back on that day, I was going to be ready. I was going to be ready to go and be with God. I was going to be ready to stand before my King Jesus. I still remember like it was yesterday how happy it was I was when I got my name put in this book. I still remember how happy and full of joy I was when my name got put in the Lamb's book of life. The question is, what about you? Do you remember that day for yourself? You know, I'm pretty sure that if you are a Christian in this room tonight, you remember that day, don't you? You're thinking about it right now. I'm pretty sure you remember that day. I'm pretty sure you can recall right now how happy and full of joy you were when you found out your name had been written down in the Lamb's book of life. I'm pretty sure you remember how happy you were on the day you got baptized. The challenge, though, is to make sure we never lose that feeling. The challenge, though, is to understand that no matter what we go through in our lives, no matter what we go through in this life, no matter if we lose our jobs, no matter if we lose one of our family members to death, no matter if we get really sick or if somebody breaks into our home and steals everything that we have, no matter if we lose all our money in the stock market, no matter what happens to us in this country, no matter what happens to us in this life, we got to always remember that in the big scheme of things, we still got a lot to be thankful for. In the big scheme of things, we still have a lot of reason to be happy and rejoice. No matter what happens to us, we still have a lot of reason to be happy because our names are in this book. If we're faithfully serving God, no matter what we go through, our names are found in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's something to be happy about. The Bible says the Book of Life is a book of names. And it's a book of life, and it's a book of joy, because it brings joy to God's children when they realize their names are in this book. But let me tell you something, just because our names are in this book, a fourth thing we need to understand is this. Fourthly, we need to understand our names can be removed from the book. Oh yes, our names can be removed from the book. Just because your name is in there today doesn't mean it's going to be in there until the day you die. And so let's look at the Word of God. We actually find this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Go to Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, if you remember that story, this is the story of when Israel got involved with the golden calf. Remember that? Remember Moses went away on the mountain to receive the law of God and to communicate with God. And while he was away, the children of Israel, they started doing some things they should not have been doing. They made a golden calf and they got involved in idolatry and they were just doing some very ungodly things. And God was very upset about that. God was very upset that they had got involved in an idolatry, especially considering the fact that he had blessed them so much up to this time. And God wanted to wipe those people out. God wanted to remove those people and start over again with Moses. But Moses is going to pray to God. He's going to intercede on the people's behalf. And notice what he says in Exodus chapter 32. Look at verse 32. In Exodus 32 and verse 32, Moses said to God, "But now if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from what? From your book, which you have written." Notice how Moses, he knew about what we're talking about tonight. He knew about the book of life. He knew about the book even in his time. He says, "God, if you're not going to forgive, blot me out. Blot us out from your book." Verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." Again, notice how God, he mentions this book in the Old Testament. God says that when it came to some of the children of Israel who were involved in idolatry and they didn't want to serve him faithfully, God says, "I'm going to blot these people out of my book." The children of Israel, they could get their names blotted out of the book. And some of them did. But now go to Revelation chapter 3. Listen to what Jesus said to the church at Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5, in Revelation 3 and verse 5, Jesus said this to the church at Sardis. "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase or I will not blot his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Listen to what Jesus said to the church at Sardis. Do you see that? Notice how Jesus makes it very clear that just because our names may be in the book of life right now, that doesn't mean they can't be taken out. That doesn't mean they can't be removed. Jesus says we need to understand that even though our names may be in the book of life, they're not written there in permanent ink. Instead, they're written there in a spiritual pencil. That means they can be erased. That means they can be removed. That means they can be blotted out if we don't remain faithful to God. That's what Jesus says there. And I got to tell you, that blows out of the water completely the doctrine of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? You ever heard of the doctrine of once saved, always saved? Remember, the doctrine of once saved, always saved suggests that once you get saved, once you get right with God, there's nothing you can do to be lost. You can curse God. You can curse Jesus. You can spit on the Bible. You can commit adultery. You can murder. You can steal and never repent of those things. And you're still going to be saved. You're still going to go to heaven. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. That's what the doctrine of once saved, always saved suggests, but that's not what Jesus taught, is it? Notice, according to Jesus, we can lose our salvation. Notice how, according to Jesus, we can have our names removed from the record that is found in heaven. Jesus says we can have our names removed from the book of life. And so our names may be in there now, But the Bible says they can be removed. And here's the final thing I want to say about this book. Fifth and finally, I want to say that this book, we need to understand this book, it's going to be open and used on the judgment day. It's going to be open and used on the judgment day. Go back to Revelation. Look at chapter 20. And this time I want to start reading verse 11 if I can. Revelation 20, verse 11. In Revelation 20, verse 11, the Apostle John says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." I want you to notice the scene that is painted here in the book of Revelation. Do you see that? I want to suggest that the scene that is being painted here is a scene of the last day. The final day, the great day, the judgment day. Notice how on the judgment day, the Bible says that all the dead, they're going to stand before God. They're going to stand before King Jesus, and they're going to be judged. I'm going to stand before Jesus. You're going to stand before Jesus. We all have an appointment before the throne of Jesus. We're going to stand before the King. And once we stand before the King, the scripture says some books are going to be opened. And the first books that are going to be opened are the books we're going to be judged by. They're going to be the books that we're going to be judged by according to our deeds. Brothers and sisters, those books are probably referring to whatever covenant we lived under. In our case, we're going to be judged not by the old covenant, not by the law of Moses, not by the Ten Commandments found in the old law. No, we are going to be judged by the new covenant. We're going to be judged by the gospel law, the laws that have been given through Jesus Christ, the law that he instituted and gave when he died on the cross. That's what we're going to be judged by. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you, not what Moses said to you, not what's found in the old law, the words I speak to you," Jesus said, "those are the words you will be judged by." But it's how Jesus says on the last day, on the judgment day, his law, his words, that's going to be the standard we're going to be judged by. On the judgment day, our lives, our deeds, our actions, our words, how we've lived, it's going to be lined up with the gospel. It's going to be lined up with the law that has come through Jesus. And so we got those books. But notice, that's not the only book that's going to be opened, is it? Notice there's a second book that's also going to be open on this occasion. And the second book, the scripture says, is the book of life. You see, on the judgment day, when we stand before God, if our names are not found in this book, if our names are not found enrolled in heaven, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We're going to be in a lot of trouble if we don't hear our names on that day. Instead of going to heaven to be with God, instead of going to heaven to be with Jesus, we're going to go to the opposite place. The scripture says we're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. In case you didn't know, that's talking about hell. That's talking about hell. You see, only those whose names are found in the book of life, only those people were allowed to be entered into heaven. And so here's my question. The question is, where's your name right now? Where's your name right now? Right now in your life, can you honestly say that your name is found in this book? Can you honestly say that tonight? I want to suggest that right now, you know, and I know concerning myself, but you know also whether or not your name is in this book. You know that. Right now, you know if you're faithfully serving God. You know if you're faithfully serving God or not. Right now, you know if you've obeyed the Lord's plan of salvation or not. Right now, you know if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins. You know that as you sit there in that pew. Right now you know if your life is in line with the gospel. Right now you know if your life is in line with what Jesus says. You know whether or not your name's in this book. If your name is not in this book, if your name is not enrolled in heaven, then you need to do something about that. In fact, you need to do something about that tonight. You need to make tonight a night where you change your life. Tonight, you need to make it a top priority to make sure that before you leave here, before you get in your car and you drive down the road, you need to make sure your name is found in this book. You need to understand that it is more important that your name be in this book than anywhere else on this planet. It is more important that your name be in this book than on a birth certificate. It is more important that your name be in this book than on a high school diploma or on a college degree. It is more important that your name be in this book than a Facebook search engine. Or on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, on the back of a football jersey, or a baseball jersey, or a basketball jersey, or even on some great monument in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you something. You can go to heaven without your names being found written on those things, but you cannot go to heaven without your name being found in the book of life. It's not going to work. So you got to make sure your name's in this book. If your name's not in the book, you got to get in the book tonight. And if your name is in the book, let me ask you a question. Are you doing what is necessary to make sure it stays there? I ask you that because remember what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus says our names can be removed. Remember, Jesus says that our names can be erased. Our names can be blotted out of this book. Just because our names may be there today doesn't guarantee they'll be there tomorrow or next month or next year. And so are you doing what God requires to keep your name in the book? In other words, are you constantly pressing forward and striving to grow in Christ? Are you constantly striving to grow in your Bible knowledge? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Are you always striving to grow in your knowledge? Are you always striving to grow in your maturity? Are you always striving to live a pure and a holy life? Are you striving to be faithful to your spouse? You're striving to raise your kids right? You're striving to live an honest and ethical and moral life? Are you constantly striving to be more like Jesus? Are you constantly striving to live by the divine pattern given in the scriptures? Are you constantly striving to be a lover of truth? Do you love truth? Do you understand that there is such a thing as truth? I ask you that because I can't begin to tell you how many times I have watched people obey the gospel. That is, I've watched people come out of the waters of baptism. They do what the Bible says they must do to become a member of the Lord's church. But then a few weeks later, they'll leave the Lord and go back into denominationalism. They'll leave the Lord and they go back to be part of some church that can't even teach the right plan of salvation. It's not even teaching the truth about baptism. That's never made any kind of sense to me. Why would you want to be part of a church that can't even teach you the truth about baptism? I mean, they can't teach you the truth about the most important issue in the world, your salvation. What makes you think they're telling you the truth about anything else? Are you a lover of truth? Are you a promoter of truth? Are you always willing to stick with the truth and teach the truth and live by the truth and promote the truth, even if your family members and your friends oppose it and they decide to live lives that are clearly in opposition to it? I want to suggest that how we answer these questions is absolutely critical to determining whether or not our names are going to stay in the book of life. You see, it is God's desire that every person here in this room and every person in Ohio and every person in this country and the world for that matter, it is God's desire that every person have their name in this book. And in fact, that's exactly why Jesus came here and died. Jesus didn't just come here to die for the people in this room tonight. He didn't just come here to die for a select group of people. He came here to die for everybody. He came here and suffered and died on a cross so that every person in the world can at least have an opportunity to have their names put in this book. He has done his part when it comes to this. Now it's time for us to do our part. Now we got to make sure that we serve him and we love him and we keep his commandments. We have to understand that only when we make sure we do what he says can we live our lives knowing that on the judgment day, when the books are opened, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. We have nothing to fear because we have obeyed the Lord Jesus. And so those are the things that I wanted to say about the book of life tonight. And I really appreciate your kind attention. And maybe there's somebody here tonight and you say, well, Sean, my name's not found in this book. I've never had my name put in this book at all. If that describes you, my friend, I want you to know that in the next 15 minutes, that can change. In the next 15 minutes, you can get your name put in this book by God himself if you're willing to believe in his son and repent of your sins and be buried in the waters of baptism. You can leave here tonight with your name in the book. It's that simple. And if your name has been put in the book before, but maybe it's been taken out because you haven't been living right, I want you to know that in the next 5 minutes, that can change for you. In the next 5 minutes, or maybe even the next 3 minutes, if you're willing to repent and ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. And we will pray for you and encourage you. And you can get your name back in the book where God wants it to be. And so if there's someone here tonight who needs to get their name put in the Lamb's Book of Life, let us help you with that right here, right now, as we stand, as we sing.